Well, I tell you what, my heart is just filled. This day has been a day of blessing. To be able to hear your story again, even a second time, it just gives me more and more joy. Claire and Mana, we're just so thankful for you and for your saying yes to Jesus Christ. You know that this has been a difficult week. And when I say that, you say, well, in what way, Pastor? Well, I'm going to say it this way. It's been a difficult week as David Russell led us in prayer this morning. He referenced Haiti, which had an earthquake back on Sabbath Sunday somewhere along in there, and then followed up with a hurricane that hit again. And I know that Jim Zacherson was sharing with me during Sabbath school that their granddaughter is there, and they're at the hospital, and they're doing everything they can, and they're having trouble bringing doctors because the doctors are unable to come from Florida because of the pandemic. It's just such a hard thing for those people caught in that situation. So that has been part of what's been hard this week. It's been hard to hear the stories coming out of Afghanistan, and I tell you, all week long, I've just been lifting these people. I don't even know who they are, but lifting. There are thousands who want to make their way to that airport. And I'm just lifting them again and again, saying, God, please be there. Please protect your people. Please be there. Please help them know whether they live or they die, they belong to you. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we're facing. And then, of course, the COVID surge that's happening again among us and all that means for us as well. The fires that have been taking place there in California. I know on Wednesday night, we were gathered in our Wednesday Bible Fellowship by Zoom. And by the way, any one of you, all of you are welcome to join us on that Wednesday Bible Fellowship. We're going verse by verse through the book of Revelation. And we were in Revelation, chapter 7. But we were there together, and we were sharing. Sue Farthing shared about what was happening with her daughter, Katie, and George, and their home, which was like 2 miles from the fire, and what was happening there. And, of course, the camp there, Leone Meadows, and just... And then on that night, also O.K. Hill, who is not here today because he got a ride with his son, and they went and drove down Wednesday night to be there because his daughter had just passed. So I'm telling you, it's just been heavy upon heavy. And in the midst of all this, I've been longing to come to church. I just couldn't wait for Sabbath. I couldn't wait to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to lift up our voices and to sing together and to pray together, to hear these testimonies. Mana, thank you. Thank you for just the way you have allowed God to bring blessing into your life. And we pray God's continued blessing on you and on Claire as you continue to go forward and walk in step with Him. I want to share with you, a prayer that was... Let's see, let me try again here. I want to share with you a prayer that was shared with the EGR Sabbath School class on Wednesday night. This was shared by Cher Wetterlin, a member of that class. And she just said, this is a prayer for today. This is how we've been feeling since last weekend. God, we come to you with heavy hearts. It seems no matter where we look these days, there is suffering. There's challenge, there's heartache. There are loved ones who are sick. There are friends who are grieving. There are important decisions to be made, but the path ahead seems unclear. There's brokenness in relationships. One brief glance at the news shows that on a global scale, the depths of suffering, turmoil, uncertainty that feels so prevalent everywhere right now. Father, it's tiring. It's hard. It's overwhelming some days. And so we come. We come to the only one who stills the winds and calms the waves. We come to the only one who heals our infirmities and binds up our broken hearts. We come stumbling, falling, hands outstretched. And Father, it's there that you catch us. Thank you. Thank you that you are the anchor in life's storms. You are faithful. You are sure. We're reminded today of Jesus' promise that though there will be troubles in this world, he has overcome this world. And God, it's here that we find our hope. Please help us to hand over our worries and rest in your presence and in your promises this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. And all God's people said, wow. Powerful prayer shared there with our Extra grace required Sabbath school class. So that's the place where we are. It's the place where, it's the world we're living in. It's what's everybody around us is experiencing. And the scripture talks about people's hearts failing them for fear, not knowing what's next. People's hearts sorrowing. People's hearts feeling just caught. Well, yesterday, my grandchildren and I, they were here for service. I wish you could have seen them. There were 7 of our 9 grandkids here this morning. But we hiked up the street and went to a family and just shared some fruit with them there. And they said to us, we had some blueberries and some nectarines. And it just went there and just said, here's something we want to give you. And they said, oh, thank you. It's been so hard. They've just been inside. They said, this COVID is so hard, we can never see anybody. And so, you know, we said, oh, here, please take this. And we stayed back far enough to everyone feel safe. And it was just that this hunger for connection and being back together as part of a bigger family. That's what is on the hearts of everyone. And you and I, because we know Jesus, and because we're part of the family of God, then we get to share this with others. We get to have the joy in our hearts, and the joy of the Lord in our hearts is our strength. And the joy in the heart, in our hearts, that is our strength, is actually rooted in the truth as it is in Jesus, as revealed in His Word, this picture that God gives us. And so we read the Word, we see Jesus, as Mana was saying, that for her to come, she had a heart for God, and to come and then to find Jesus, and to find this loving one who loves her, who loves us. We come and we find our life and our hope and our joy in Him, rooted in the Word of God. And right at the heart of this is John 3:16. I think, anybody here ever memorized that verse? John 3:16. Look at this. We're going to see it on the screen. We're going to see John 3:16 and 17. Let's read it together. Let's just hear this. And let God's Word, that is the source of our joy, just to, again, wash over us with His presence. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His own Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. This is the God who's for us, not against us. This is the God, this good God, who is, as it says in Deuteronomy 30, He says, I am your life. I'm your life. So Lord, as we open your word today, please pour your spirit, your life into us, and give us ears to hear and minds that comprehend, that we might discern, and that with our hearts we might say yes to you. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, this is a good news message today. It is rooted right in the John 3:16 story, and we're going to look at it again. We know John 3:16, we've memorized it. We're now going to look at that whole story in context, so we actually hear what's happening. You know it started at nighttime. It was dark. A man named Nicodemus, who was afraid to come in the daylight because he didn't want his peers, all the other guys, to see him going and talking to Jesus. So he came at night. Let's pick up the story in John chapter 3, verse 1. A man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. By the way, before we go, Pharisee, what does the root word speak of? What does it say? The word Pharisee means separated ones. We must separate ourselves in order to stay pure away from you. And so the Pharisee, Nicodemus, who's a ruler, a leader in this party, and really it was a spiritual movement trying to lead people back to Christ. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are the teacher come from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with him. So he's wanting to come on in. He kind of gives a commendation, and let's start talking some religion. I got some ideas. And by the way, Nicodemus, he's got a PhD in theology. He teaches at the seminary. He's like number one, you know, numero uno as far as who the professors are, and everybody honors and respects him. And he comes to Jesus now and wants to talk religion. But what does Jesus do? Watch this. We go to the next verse, verse 3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, by the way, when you and I read this in English, we just blow right past it. What is Jesus saying, truly, truly? He's doing this way. It's like with my grandkids when I'm going, Okay, I'll pick my namesake, Georgie. George, would you stop? Would you please listen to me? I want to tell you this. Would you look at me, please? We want to engage. Here's Jesus with Nicodemus. He's going, Nicodemus, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth, man. I'm telling you the truth. Twice. Boom. I'm telling you the truth. Nicodemus, look at me, Nicodemus. I'm telling you the truth. What is it? Unless one is born again, in the Greek, born from above, that helps us know is nothing that you and I conjure up and try to work out spiritually in ourselves. This is a gift from God. Unless you're born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's Nicodemus do with this? He says, well, how? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb? You're going, Nicodemus, here's the how word. Jesus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And he goes, well, how? And Jesus comes back and doubles down. Here we go. Truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth, Nicodemus. By the way, why is Jesus being serious? Why is he being serious about this? You're going to see right here in a moment. Truly, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. The Pharisees, along with the Sadducees, not every Pharisee, but many of the Pharisees, including Nicodemus, we have reason to believe. Pharisees dug in their heels and said, we will not be baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist. They traveled the 17 miles from Jerusalem all the way down to the Jordan, to Jericho. They went there to the Jordan to see John and they hear him preach. But they were not saying yes to being baptized. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you think you've got this all down because you understand all the, if you've not memorized the entire Old Testament, you've memorized much of it. You know everything there is to know about the Hebrew Scriptures. You know it all backwards and forwards. And you are this honored PhD in theology professor. But if you aren't born again, born of water and the Spirit, oh my, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus twice, he goes, I'm telling you the truth, Nicodemus. I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because he loves the man. He loves the man, and he loves him so much to tell him that he loves him enough that he'll tell him the truth. And that is, Nicodemus, you're not there. You said no to the baptism of John. You never went to the water. You think you don't need to do it because you have all this, and you're just a great guy and everybody thinks you're wonderful. Oh, man, Nicodemus, you need to be born of water and of the Spirit. Water, what does Romans 6 tell us? We are buried with him in baptism, united with Christ in his death, in his burial, and then raised up to walk in newness of life, which is life in the Spirit. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This is the reality, Nicodemus, I'm inviting you into. Please don't just do this religion thing. Please don't settle for that. Come to the reality. Come to the truth. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Next verse, verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Nicodemus. I mean, flesh can't do anything. I mean, we were created in the image of God. God created us in his image, but this is a fallen race. And he's going, flesh is flesh. And the flesh wars against the Spirit. And the flesh wants what the flesh wants. It's going to take care of its precious. Like, I'm going to take care of me, and I'm number one, and this thing, and I'll be a nice, and I'll be an upstanding person, and I'll be good in the community, and people will. He's going, hey, Nicodemus, flesh is flesh, man. Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I told you, you must be born again. I mean, he is reaching for him. Jesus is reaching for this man. He's calling him. Calling him to step over the line, to say yes to God's call. We keep going. Next verse. Let's go to that next verse. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He says, look, this is not something that you can go and take a, you can't take a course of study and get there. This is a work of God in your heart and in your life. And you stood there on that riverbank and you felt the call of the Spirit and you dug in your heels. Go, Nicodemus, come on, man. We keep going, the next verse. And Nicodemus says, how? Second time. Jesus doubled down, truly, 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 truly. He doubled down. Nicodemus is still there. He doubles down. How? How can these things be? And Jesus now goes, and he just, boom, he goes right at him. He's open. There's an open door at this moment, and Jesus goes, shoo, and he goes an arrow right to the heart. And he says, are you the teacher of Israel? He doesn't just say, are you one of the, are you one of, no, you are the guy. You're the one that everybody says, this is the best professor of the whole seminary. You're the teacher, yet you don't understand these things? And where's Jesus coming from here? He's coming from the Hebrew scriptures. He's going, Nicodemus, you know the scripture. Wait, look at this one. Look at this one in Ezekiel. Look here. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness. From all your idols, I will cleanse you. Watch this. I will give you a new heart. Nicodemus, you memorized this in Sabbath school. You know this verse. I'm going to give you a clean heart. I'm going to put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh. I'll give you a heart that's living now and beating again, a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be careful to obey my rules. Remember the new covenant. The promise is, the new covenant is that I will write my law on your mind. You'll know my will. I'll write it on your hearts. You'll even want to do what God, what I'm calling you to do. And in my own life, this is the joy of the Lord, is when I say yes to this God and I have a heart that is where it's written on my heart, then it's just like this, I want to do what I ought to do. There's this freedom in the spirit and you just come alive. You just go, oh, this is so good. This is so good. This is what I was created to be. This is what I was created to do, to walk in step with the Lord. This is all language that Nicodemus knows. How come he's standing there going, how, how? What do you mean, Nicodemus? It's right there in your scriptures. I'm going to throw another one in here. And that's from Deuteronomy. I don't have it up on the screen. But Deuteronomy in chapter 6 says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, good. So we say, okay. I had someone say to me, a couple of guys talking to me, this is several years ago now, but with the conversation, they said, boy, the New Testament is so easy. The Old Testament was so hard. You got all these hundreds of rules and laws. New Testament, just love God, love your neighbor. Like it was a piece of cake. So interesting. Just love him with all your heart. Interesting. Deuteronomy 10 verse 16 says what? You don't love me. You've got a rebel heart. You don't love me. You've got a rebel heart. And then the actual words are, circumcise your heart. What? So now we know circumcision actually has a spiritual meaning. I'm not talking physical, but there's this thing of, there's something about this rebel heart, but how are you going to, I love it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. What does it say? Deuteronomy 30. This is Moses. Moses, the old lawgiver. Oh, he doesn't know the gospel. Are you kidding me? Here's Moses. The Lord himself says, I will circumcise your heart, the key words are right here, so that you will love me with all your heart and live. I'm going to do heart surgery on you so that you will love me and you will live. This is the scripture that Nicodemus knows. When Jesus says to him, you're the teacher in Israel, and you're going, how? What do you mean be born again? And he points it and he brings it home to him. And so Jesus at this point, then instead of answering the how question, he answers the who question. He starts first with who. That's the title of today. But how? But how? Who? He starts with who. Let's go there. Truly, truly, boy, third time. Not just double down. He's going to triple down and bring it home. I am telling you the truth, Nicodemus. Right, eye to eye. Man, here, mano a mano. Here it is. I'm telling you the truth, Nicodemus. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to bear witness to what we've seen. And you don't receive our testimony. If I've told you earthly things, you don't believe it. How can I, if I tell you heavenly things, what's Jesus doing? This is Jesus referencing the reality that he has seen heavenly things. How can you see heavenly things? Because, the next verse tells us, Verse 4:13, no one is ascended into heaven except the one that descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He does the who on Nicodemus and goes, Nicodemus, Son of Man is standing right in front of you. Now, when Nicodemus hears Son of Man, he goes, he chokes, because this is blasphemy. A man is standing in front of him saying, I am Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7, Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days. He's in the heavenly courtroom with the Father. And he's going, Son of Man's here. This is who's talking to you. I've seen this. I'm bearing testimony. You won't even believe what I tell you when I tell you earthly things. I'm telling you, this is who I am. So he goes who, and then he goes how. Now remember, all this is context for John. When you come, next time you say John 3:16, for God so loved the world, next time you say it, this is your context. Who, Son of Man, how? Verse 14, here it is. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, lifted up, what are we talking about here? Snake on a stick? Huh? As Moses lifted up a snake in the wilderness, so Son of Man, so must, there's the word must. Must twice, I forgot this to emphasize. Double down, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Son of Man must be lifted up on that tree. And people say, oh no, God's so loving. He doesn't need, oh, God wouldn't know. God wouldn't do. No, please, you're flying in the face of everything Scriptures testifies to. I understand you feel like you're being more loving when you say there's no necessity of a cross. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's Peter. He himself, he doubles down. He himself, twice. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. If we deny that, we miss the heart of what God is doing through Christ to bring salvation to the world. He went to that tree for you and for me. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, Son of Man must go there. You say, well, what is this being lifted up? He tells us later in John chapter 12, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to me, all men, all women, boys and girls. I'm going to draw you to me when I'm lifted up. And then in the next verse says, he said this to signify the way he would die. This idea of being lifted up, there's no confusion around this in the New Testament. Son of Man lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him. We're not talking performance here, guys. Okay, if I could do enough good things and I can do enough community service, get enough. The one who believes in him may have eternal life. Boom, here comes the verse we all know. Verse 16. For God so loved the world. When the world feels like it's out of control and everything's crashing down, this week I went back to this verse. I'm going, okay, God, you love this world. You're loving this world. You love, and you're calling every single person to say, just to respond, to receive the love that you're giving. That's the world that you invite us to be part of. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave him. He so loved that he gave, that whoever believes, here it is. Will you say yes to this one? Trust him with your life? Whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn. He said, No, this is the God who's for us, not against us, in order that the world might be saved through him. That's what's happening. He's saying, I'm here, I love you. Please say yes to this purpose of God that Christ himself is fulfilling and inviting us into this family. What a picture of the goodness of God. Let's look at that next verse as it continues. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he didn't believe in the name of the only Son of God. I mean, there it is. There it is. This is the work of God, he says in John 6, to believe in the one he sent. Show us the work. Show us God. Show us what work we should do so we can be, really be right with God. This is the work, the Son of God. This is the work of God, and that is believe in the one he sent. There it is. Trust your life to him. And now we go to the verses that wrap up this story. It's in verse 19 through 21. He says, there's a judgment taking place. Because what we do with this Jesus is what it's all about. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world. I mean, light is shining in this world. Self-giving, self-sacrificing, agape love of Christ. It's here. He's here. He's agape in person. God is agape. Agape in person is standing in front of you, Nicodemus. And here comes the tragedy. People loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. I know the meaning of that verse. I can look in my life and know places where I've loved darkness more than light. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. If anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. That old is gone. The new has come. This is the Savior who's setting us free from that magnetic attraction to the darkness, to the dark side. And he's saying, look, the light has come, but people loved it. Why? Their deeds are evil. Let's go to the next verse 20 and 21. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true. So here's this invitation for us to just go, okay, I'm going to start here with the truth and just go, I need you. I need you. I need a Savior. I need you to be my Savior. As the Spirit gives me the words to speak and I step into that light, he says, comes to the light, may be clearly seen that his works are carried out in God. This is this born from above. It's the work of God in your life and in mine. This is the good news that you and I get to carry. You and I get to live out of this reality. Amen? We get to live out of this reality. And we get to be the people of joy, of love. Let's see. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You and I get to live in this reality, the joy of the Lord, our strength, as we invite others around us, our loved ones, our family, our neighbors. We get to invite, come, let me share with you what Jesus has done for me. Hey, let's sing together. Let's stand together and sing, Death Was Arrested, as we proclaim the life that we have in Christ Jesus.